Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Wow. I think the music helped this morning. Thank you so much for being here this early. I know it's 8:30 and we had a big night last night for those of you that joined the vendor parties or did the welcome reception. So many thanks for joining us. And welcome to our session called Effortless Migration from VMware to Windows Server 2012 R2 Hyper-V. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Maarten Goed. I'm a System Center MVP from the Netherlands. And today I'm joined by Mark van Eyck.
Mark van Eyck. I'm an Azure MVP, also from the Netherlands, as you can hear by my accent. I try to do my best today to make it as clear as possible.
Thank you, Mark. If you want to follow us, our Twitter handles are on the screen, and if you want to tweet out, shout out, or things we can improve on, any remarks or anything we can do, please tweet with us. So the session's called Effortless Migration, and the agenda is that we'll talk a bit briefly about Windows Server 2012 R2 Hyper-V. We're certainly not going to convince you that either platform is better, but we're going to show you options on Hyper-V, also on Azure, and on how to go from a VMware situation to Hyper-V or Azure. We have different migration approaches. We have the one that Microsoft provides out of the box. We have some of the vendor tooling we're going to show you. In total, we're going to run by approximately 5-6 scenarios to show you. And there's going to be a lot of demos. Mark's going to do the demos. He has a lot of experience in migration, so he'll take us through the screens and through the demos. And then at the end, of course, we'll have room for Q&A, any questions you might have with regards to this question or in general on the platform. We can certainly try and answer those. So first, let's have a quick look at Windows Server 2012 R2 Hyper-V. To Microsoft, it's not just about the hypervisor. It's about bringing you a broader platform where virtualization is key and where we have a common technology stack. So the common technology we run in Hyper-V on-premises is the same technology we use in the Microsoft Azure cloud. And hence, this is why we're going to show you in our migration approaches and how to also migrate from VMware to Azure. So Microsoft wants to build this cloud OS vision where Hyper-V is the virtualization stack on-premises. Hyper-V also playing a big part at service providers for them to provide you with virtualization. And of course, as one of the foundational layers of infrastructure as a service on Microsoft Azure. Now, the first thing when we're going to look at a migration from platform A to platform B is we need to understand what we have and what are the items, the workloads that we are going to migrate to this new platform. And this is actually where Microsoft provides you tooling. And one of the options you have is to use the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit, or MAP in short. The Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkits allows you to do inventories on virtual workloads, on physical servers, if you still have those, and inquire about what's running on those platforms. It provides you readiness assessments, not only for virtualization. MAP has been around for a couple of years. This is already the 9th release. This one certainly has an assessment for VMware and Hyper-V, but you can also assess things like mailboxes, email services you might have, Office 365 readiness, etc. And it generates reports, and it can certainly also generate proposals. And best of all, it's free. So free in a sense that you can download it from the Microsoft download website. And one of the key things about the MAP tool is it's agentless. So it's non-intrusive. If you want to have a look into your VMware environment, see key metrics on usage, for instance, memory, CPU, etc., you can just point it towards an ESX server or vCenter host and start gathering information and securely assess on those platforms. And again, version 9 is available. So if you go to the Microsoft download website, that's the version you can download today. Now, you specify one of the inventory scenarios you want to run. In our case, you'd probably want to run the VMware assessment scenario. Specify the credentials, of course. In that case, it would be connecting to the VMware SDK, whether it's on ESX or vCenter. So you have to specify credentials to gain access. And then if you're doing other inventories, you might need to specify IP ranges, computer names, protocols, things like SSH, etc., for map to gain access into those systems. Now, it uses, it allows you to deliver reports. So things like the server consolidation report gives you a detailed inventory on your Windows server and Linux workloads. The VMware discovery report, so any servers you've already virtualized on VMware that might be ready to migrate to Hyper-V or Azure. And things like Microsoft workloads on SQL, SharePoint, Exchange, etc. Now, the migration approaches that we're going to discuss are these six. We're going to talk about the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, MVMC. We're going to talk about using System Center Virtual Machine Manager to be able to do a migration. The NetApp Shift solution, a vendor called Vision Solution that provides double take move. NetIQ has their plate spin migrate. And there's going to be the Migration Automation Toolkit, or MAT. And we're going to discuss them into detail, give you the pros, the cons, and also talk a bit about downtime, because there are significant differences between these solutions in what they provide you with downtime and downtime windows. Now, the first one we want to discuss is how does VMware integrate with Virtual Machine Manager? I'll click it from here. So Virtual Machine Manager 2012 R2 integrates with VMware in a sense that we can connect to a vCenter host, and with that connection, we can connect to some of the ESX hosts for it to assess virtual machines on those platforms, for you to build clouds on them, but also for migrating VMs from VMware to Hyper-V, of course. With the connection in place, there are some of the VMware operations you can do now from VMM as well. So you can do things like placement, you can do the vMotion from the VMM console, you can create your clouds, use PowerShell on top of VMM to talk to VMware. In essence, we connect to VMware so that you have one single pane of glass to perform your activities from. And here at the bottom, you see a link to the TechNet site of which of the operations are all supported on the VMM side of the house. And certainly, this is not an extensive list, so you can have a look at that site if you want to know more. Now, there's going to be certain versions that support it from a different version of Virtual Machine Manager. The newest 2012 R2 supports 415051. And if you want to have more information on the support scenarios, you could look at TechNet to get some more information on those supported versions. Mark, would you take us into a demo of what we can and cannot do with Virtual Machine Manager?
Exactly, only what we can do.
Only what we can do.
There's nothing you cannot do.
There's nothing. Wow.
First, let me get an idea of the audience that is sitting here. Who is using VMware today? Whoa! That's almost everybody. Well, it's a good thing you're here. That's for sure.
After this session, I'll be migrating.
Yeah. Next year, we're going to ask the same question to you guys, and no hands should go up. Who's using Hyper-V today? Well, okay, so almost everybody as well. So that's an interesting scenario, because that would mean that you all guys are using both. And who is migrating already from VMware to Hyper-V?
That's
like one-third. Who's thinking about it?
Oh.
The other two-thirds. So we are here to convince you to move over. Now, you all should be familiar with this interface. Yeah? vCenter. Then we have the counterpart, which is VMM in the System Center suites, the Microsoft product stack. When you look at this vCenter environment, you'll see six virtual machines that will migrate during the session. Now, if we open VMM, you'll see that the console has an Outlook look and feel. Who's familiar with Virtual Machine Manager? Well, that saves me some time. In essence, you'll have a couple of menus that will allow you to manage the complete fabric. So you'll have your fabric environment where you see servers, networking, and storage. You'll have your VMs and services tab where you can see all your virtual machines. A library where you can store virtual machines, store ISO files, and additional files that you need in your environment. You have a job entry where you can see what jobs are running or what jobs have already finished, and general setting set. Specifically, when you want to hook up vCenter to VMM, like Martin just told you can, it's not that complicated. The easy thing is just add a resource, select what you want to add, enter the name of the vCenter server, select a runners account, and a runners account is a store within VMM that allows you to enter username and credentials that other users, delegated users, can then later on reference, but they don't have access to that actual account. So when we look here, we have a set of runners accounts, which vCenter, I can filter, I can select that runners account. I don't have a clue what the password is, but I can use it. And that's all there is to it. It will connect to vCenter, and then it will allow me to add ESX hosts. So that's the next thing you'll have to do. I will cancel this because I have already added it. Yes. You can see it right here. Infrastructure tab, vCenter servers. There's my vCenter server. And the next thing I can do is on the server tab, add an ESX host. So you don't need to add all those ESX hosts. You can do just one or two. Same here, runners account. I have one for my ESX as well. Notice the pass, the description.
Maybe a good thing to tell is that the runners accounts are securely stored in the database,
yeah,
encrypted, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a passphrase that you can save in Active Directory. And I can select my ESX host. That's all there is to it as well. I've also added this one as well. And when we now look at the VMs and services tab, and I browse to that particular host, you'll see I have those six VMs there as well. And I can do actions on those VMs. I can start them, stop them. I can deploy new virtual machines, which you rather don't want to do if you're migrating away from VMware, what you could, deploy them on that virtual machine host. And I can even change settings to a virtual machine. So let's say I have a look at the properties. I can see all the hardware configuration. I can make adjustments here. But what we're talking about is migration. And VMM will allow you to migrate virtual machines from VMware to Hyper-V. Now, how does that work? Say we want to migrate virtual machine number one. I can migrate a virtual machine. Then a wizard will start. I can select which host do I want to migrate that virtual machine to. And I'll select just one. And you can see by the rating, these nice gray stars over here, that I'm not able to select any of this host as a target for this virtual machine. The virtual machine uses intelligent placement rules to target which hosts are electable for this virtual machine to land on. And it also gives me an explanation why I cannot move this virtual machine here. And it has to say, well, the processor isn't compatible. Because what you might understand that I'm not able to migrate a running virtual machine like a vMotion to live migration thing because those two aren't compatible. So the downside of migrating with Virtual Machine Manager is your virtual machine has to be turned off. And during the complete migration, your machine will be off. So let's do that first. Shut this thing down. Yes. Turn it off. And when it's turned off, I'm able to select the wizard again. There we go. Migrate virtual machine. Select the host where I'm transferring it to. management. And you'll also already see that from the stars rating that they are now eligible for migrating this virtual machine to. So let's select this host and we look at the rating. The error is gone and only I have a warning specifying that disk will be converted to IDE. So like that, I can convert the virtual machine disks to a share, which is fine by me. I can select which virtual switch do I want to connect this virtual machine to, because the virtual switch that is in VMware isn't available on the Hyper-V host. So I can map it there. I can change the VLAN if I want to, specify a port classification which will give this adapter a weight, so we have actual quality of service within the Hyper-V switch. I'll leave that for default for now. I can select what actions to do when this virtual machine is in a cluster, so this virtual machine will be created highly available. And I can select to start the virtual machine after the migration is complete. And that's all there is to it. Now, when I look at my jobs window, it's actually failed. It will take about 15 minutes for a virtual machine of a disk like 15 gigabytes to transfer. So that's 15 minutes of downtime for one virtual machine. So if you want to have 10 virtual machines moving for like a POC, then VMM is fine. But if you have 500 or 1,000 virtual machines, that's probably not the best tool to go with. So we have a look at what Microsoft else has in store for that functionality.
Perfect, Mark. So we've learned VMM can migrate you if you connect your VMware environment. It will give you some downtime, and there's a length associated in time because of conversion and stuff going on. Okay, so VMM is one, and if you're using Hyper-V, you've set it up, you've likely also got VMM to manage it with. So certainly if you have time or downtime is not an issue, maybe it's a non-prod environment, it could still be a viable option. But it's just one of the scenarios, and I'd like to also show you the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, MVMC, currently in version 2, and I've said new on the slide because it just came out in April, and they're already working on V3. It's one of those things, the rapid developing, but it's a good tool. It's actually one of the things that Microsoft provides, and it's a solution accelerator. It's fully supported. So that's important. If we're doing migrations, if something goes wrong, you might want to call up support. It is a Microsoft supported tool. It's a free download, as you can see here again on the Microsoft.com/download site. This is just something you can download, and it allows you to go from VMware to Hyper-V, or in the new version, even to Azure. What we do is we download it, we install it on one of the computers for which you want to do the migration from. We can then select the virtual machines on the VMware hosts to be migrated to Hyper-V. And certainly, one of the options you have is that you can script it. In version 1, it would be a command line, so this tool would be running command line, and you could actually script that same migration from Hyper-V, from VMware to Hyper-V. And then, not sure what my remote is doing. I'll stand here. And then, of course, we support all the major versions. This is not the definitive list. I'll show you on the next slide. So what happens is this tool is run on an admin workstation or a server. You connect from this tool to VMware. It inventories, gives you a list of VMs. Then you select the VMs to convert. You select your destination, so the Hyper-V host you want to place them on, and it will actually do the conversion. It will use the power, the CPU power, and intermediate disk storage on this admin workstation where the tool is running to convert the VMs for you. Now, we support all the way up from Windows Server 2003, Windows Server 2008, 2012, 2012 R2, everything that's old and current we support. And then also disk types like IDE, SCSI, VHD fixed disks, VHD dynamic, et cetera, et cetera. So this is certainly a tool that you could use. The new version, V2, that came out in April, has a couple of new things. We already said Windows Azure support, so you can now directly go from VMware to a Azure VM on infrastructure as a service. The command line interface has been replaced by PowerShell, which is a good thing. So we can use PowerShell to run the jobs and to script our migrations from A to B. We now support conversion of offline virtual machines. vSphere 5.5 is important, of course. And we support 2012 R2 as the destination host. So version 2 is the one you want to use that you can do for the migrations. Mark, would you be able to show us a demo of MVMC?
Let's open that console for you. So we close this one. We don't need that anymore. The virtual machine migration tool, it's a simple install. And it doesn't depend on Virtual Machine Manager. So if you don't have that running, it's very easy. Just a free installer. Free?
Yep.
Yeah, free. We're from the Dutch. From the Netherlands, we like free.
I think everybody likes free, though.
Yeah? who likes free?
Okay, good.
Excellent. So you can download this. When you have installed this, a couple of things to note. I start the configuration wizard, and I have two choices. I can migrate to Hyper-V, or I can migrate to Microsoft Azure. Now, the interesting thing is here to know that there's an intermediate step. During this migration, the virtual hard disk will be converted to my management machine. It will be temporarily stored there after the complete migration is done, and then it's or moved to the Hyper-V host or uploaded to Microsoft Azure. And during this migration, the virtual machine, you can already guess, has to be off. But hey, it's free, so what do you expect? So it's an easy wizard. I've installed the tool. That's all. Migrate to Hyper-V. First of all, select the Hyper-V host where you want to migrate to. So I'll enter that name correctly. Might help. As you can see, my credentials are already used from the user that I'm logged in with. Validates my credentials. Then I'll have to select a path where the final disk will be placed. So I have a share, not virtual machine, or not virtual machine host. I can choose whether I want to have dynamically expanding disks or fixed disks. And I can also choose the type of the virtual hard disk. Virtual hard disk of the VHD format up to 2012, VHDX 2012 R2. So it's recommended to use VHDX. Then I have to give up the address of the vCenter host. And as it should, we should see the same machines that we saw before. There they are. Now, the interesting thing is that you have a thing called the VMware tools. And you have also the integration services in Hyper-V. And they don't work very well together. So a part of the migration process should be to uninstall the VMware tools and preferably install the integration services. Now, for the possibility to have the deinstall of the VMware tools, the virtual machine has to be, one, on, and I have to have access into the virtual machine. So I'm now asked to specify credentials to access that virtual machine to deinstall the VMware tools so it can then later on easily install the integration services. That's why this passphrase has to be entered. Then I can also select if my final state of my destination virtual machine will be on or off. Let's leave that off for now. And here's my local disk on my management machine that I'll have to specify where this disk will be temporarily stored. Well, we're doing the Hyper-V movement, so we'll select that other disk. And what you'll see happening first, that it will take a snapshot. So it's a non-destructive process, saying that in VMware there's a snapshot taken, then the integration services are deinstalled, the VM is put down, and then the migration starts. If somewhere down the line the migration process goes wrong, or you want to go back to your old environment, that is possible. Now, there is another possibility within this tool that you just saw. Who has an account in Microsoft Azure? It's free. You'll even get a credit of $200. The only thing you'll have to show is your credit card. They won't bill you on it. Please get an account, because there are so many great features that you can use. Like, this is one of them, the possibility to migrate a virtual machine to Microsoft Azure and run your virtual machine from there. Now, this is the second possibility.
Now, during the conversion, the virtual machine is on or off?
Off.
It's off.
Yeah.
So we still have downtime.
Yes, but it's a free tool.
So. It's a free tool.
Now, before I can start this process, I'm asked for a subscription ID and a certificate thumbprint. I should do something probably within Microsoft Azure. So let's open that portal as well. Go. See if I remember the password correctly. Yes, that's fine. So for the few of you that never seen Microsoft Azure before, this is Microsoft Azure. On the left, you'll have a whole bunch of services that you can deploy and choose from. In the middle, you'll see the services that I already have deployed in this environment. Now, what is particularly important with related to the migration I'm doing is the storage containers, because that is where the disks are actually placed before I can create a virtual machine from. It won't automatically create the virtual machine for you and start it. It will create a pointer to that particular disk that you can easily create a virtual machine from. So it's not an A to Z process. You'll have to have some integration and actions doing yourself after that. But it will upload the disk for you. And this is also the reason why we have to have the subscription ID and also the storage container and the access keys. When I first go to my settings tab, here you'll see that I have my subscription ID. Use that one. And now the other one is a bit more complicated, because when I click management certificates, there is no certificate. So this is something that I'll have to create. Because the tool won't be able to log on to the portal and enter the credentials I just did, we have to have another way to authenticate against Microsoft Azure. Now, the way we do that is with certificates. And what we actually do, we'll generate a certificate with a private key and one with a public key with the same thumbprint. We'll upload the certificate with the public key into Microsoft Azure and import the certificate with the private key onto this machine. And based on that private key, I'm able to authenticate against my subscription ID. So what would you need to do for that? I have a simple tool for that. Who's familiar with MakeCert? Free tool, people, free. It's part of the SDK. You can download it. It allows you to generate certificates. Very easy command line. And what it just did is create a certificate here with the name Azure Cert. It also created a certificate in my local certificate store. I'll show you. With the private key. And add certificate snapping. There we go. And it's on my user account. So should this be a remote desktop server where we have multiple users coming in, it's only on my account. Other users are not able to use this. look at the store. And here we have that certificate, and as you, I hope it's probably not very good seeable, but it has a small key on the icon, meaning this has a private key. Now, it's a self-signed cert, so it's not trusted by default, so I have to import that certificate without the private key in the trusted root store here. I do that, double-click it, say install certificate on the local machine, that's fine. It's only the public key. Place it in the trusted root certificate authority's entry. And this is all I have to do on my machine. And the only thing that is left to do now is upload the certificate to Microsoft Azure without the private key. So this is this one. You can see that from the icon. So I'll upload the certificate, browse for the file. There it is. And this is the basic principle for other management functionalities as well. So if you would be doing PowerShell against Microsoft Azure, we'll have to do this same process. This will take a couple of seconds. And when this is important, I will then see the thumbprint of this certificate, copy that, use that in the wizard, and then the tool will connect to Microsoft Azure, will use my subscription ID plus the thumbprint that I'm using, and is able to retrieve the information from Microsoft Azure, looking at what storage containers do I have, where can I place those virtual hard disks. There's the certificate, here you can see the thumbprint, select that. And copy that in my wizard. Is it? Let's see if I copied it correctly. Looks like it. Yeah. No. What it'll actually do is, I've done this demo 1,000 times and probably have screwed up with the certificates now, so I'm biding in as by my own testing process. When we complete this wizard, it will only ask me which storage container do you want to upload this particular disk to. As you can see here, we have a storage entry. There I have two storage containers, and I can select which container do I want to upload it to. We have them. And when I select the correct container, the wizard will follow through, and it will do exactly the same as it has done with migrating to Hyper-V. So it will take a snapshot of a virtual machine, so it's a non-destructive process, and instead of copying that disk to my local machine and then copy it over to the Hyper-V, it will copy it to my local machine and upload it to Microsoft Azure. Will it take some downtime? Yeah, that will definitely will take some downtime, but you'll have your virtual machines up and running in the public cloud. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark, for showing us. So scenario two would be to use Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, which is a free download. It now allows you to do some extra steps. It will deinstall the VMware tools for you if you have the credentials. It still will require some downtime, in essence, that it will be in an offline state when we do the migration. And there's also a second option where you can directly migrate to Azure. And like Mark said, you'll have some post steps to run to really make it a virtual machine. But it's a good option, and we can certainly migrate, and we can do that even from PowerShell in a scriptable sense. But it's one VM at a time. So if we're going to do a couple of VMs, that's a bit of work, I guess, to get them all migrated. So one of the things you should consider is scenario three, is to use the Migration Automation Toolkit, MAT. And the Migration Automation Toolkit is a download from the Microsoft TechNet Gallery. And it allows you to actually script those MVMC migrations. And certainly you could have done that yourself. If you're good in PowerShell, you could just work up the script yourself. But this is prefab. It's already on the TechNet gallery. You can take it and run with it. So instead of taking one VM at a time, we can actually take Matt that will provide you with the scripts to start converting VMs, multiple VMs at a time. Now the thing here to note is that we're still using MPMC. So if you look at the logical architecture, there's still this admin workstation, this management server needed where we're gonna run MVMC multiple times in a scripted sense. So MVM still is still reaching out to VMware, doing some pre-steps, then using local storage to convert, which takes time. Then
yeah, and it's also important to know that you only can do 3 migrations at a time. So if you want to have more than 3 at one time, you'll need more management machines. So it doesn't scale very well.
Right. So there's still a couple of pitfalls when using the Microsoft Automation Toolkit Matt. The steps are the same. We're using MVMC, so the same conditions apply as Mark just showed you during the MVMC demo. Now, the Microsoft Automation Toolkit is free to use. It's on the TechNet gallery, so you can just download it. It's easy in the sense that it's driven by PowerShell.
It's also free?
Everything's free, Mark. This is a good session.
How do they make money at Microsoft here?
Yeah, they don't make money.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
So it's driven by PowerShell. It uses SQL Express for some of the storage of where it's at the process, so you need SQL.
Which is also free, I see.
Yes, SQL Express is free.
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah, I think sessions, the slides after here will not be free.
Oh, okay.
So we can do multiple conversions per server, but Mark said it's 3 per server, so you'd need a couple of management servers to do large scale. And it scales horizontally in the sense that you can, so that's a good thing. You can extend it, customize it, even port back to the TechNet gallery, and then provide simple reporting and management within this solution. So it's a good solution, and the best of all, it's supported, again. And that's an important key, I guess, if you're doing migrations, if you run into issues, even the Matt solution is supported by Microsoft, so that's a good thing. Now, for those of you that are running NetApp storage, and who's running NetApp storage? Oh, there's a good number of hands. I think 1/3, so even up to a half. There's this project called Shift, where you can use the NetApp storage to actually do the conversions and to really, really speed up the migrations from the VMware platform to Hyper-V in our case. So what NetApp Shift is it uses some of the Matt technology, and so we're connecting back into vSphere. It then uses the Data ONTAP software, version 8.2, to really convert the VMs on the NetApp storage at lightning speed, really, and we'll show you a video in a couple of seconds on how fast we mean by fast. It converts on the Data ONTAP with the Data ONTAP software on the NetApp storage, and then provides them back to Hyper-V. And so you can run migrations from VMware to Hyper-V at lightning speed. Again, there'll be some slight downtime associated because there'll be a couple of seconds when it's offline, when it's migrating. But certainly, if you look at the speed, it's a viable option if you have a short maintenance window or a couple of minutes to spare. And because we don't have the NetApp situation set up in our lab, I'm going to show you a quick video of how it's done, and I'll narrate it for you to show what's going on. So again, we have a VMware situation with roughly 30 VMs running, and this is the vCenter console. We have the VMware, or the Hyper-V host, which we connect back to.
Tool that allows customers to
maybe
shift
can mute the sound.
Hyper-V.
Thank you. And so we have the PowerShell commandlet running on the left-hand side, as you see in the window. It's connecting to ESX. It's connecting to the Data ONTAP software. It's now enumerating the VMs on our VMware platform. And you see a PowerShell window popping up. And we can take that PowerShell window to select the VMs that we want to migrate from VMware to Hyper-V. So in our case, we'll select all. And what will now happen is NetApp will do its magic. It will start converting from VMDK, in this case, to VHDX, and look at the left side of the window in a couple of seconds on how fast per VM that's happening. And literally, and if you then look on the right-hand side, you see them appearing in Hyper-V. So 14 seconds, 17, 18, 70 seconds, 17, 18, it's at lightning speed. And if you compare that to MVMC, your own local storage, it's ridiculously fast. So if you have that app, if you have the filers, if you have version 8 of the software, certainly look at their capabilities of supporting this process and allowing you to convert from situation A to B. And when talking to one of the product managers yesterday from NetApp, he also reminded me that this is one scenario, going from VMware to Hyper-V, but you could certainly have other scenarios where you need a fast conversion, for instance, VMDK to VHD to go to Azure, so you could use the NetApp storage for multiple scenarios than just going from VMware to Hyper-V. But if you look at the 30 VMs, this was probably roughly 1.5, 2 minutes. They've already booted up, and NetApp is a key changer for speed in the whole process. So kudos to NetApp. Cool. So the other one to talk about is a vendor solution from Vision Solutions.
Yeah. Well, what do you you want to have no downtime, and you don't have an NetApp? What are the options then? Should I buy one? Well, it's quite costly for a migration only. There is another solution from DoubleTake, from Vision Solutions called DoubleTake, which is a software-based solution, and it will allow you to move, because it's software, from physical to virtual. Virtual to physical, physical to cloud, or whatever way you want to go. Because the agent is not actually running below the VM, as we've seen until now, because we're shutting down the VM, we're talking to the underlying host. It's running within the virtual machine. And that's why we can, for instance, migrate to a cloud. Because we can't access, although I'm not sure you can, but I can't, access a host running in Microsoft Azure. But I can access my virtual machine. So that's an interesting option. It's not free, unfortunately, but it does a very well job. So how does it work? Well, we install an agent onto the virtual machine. And depending on where we are migrating to, we have an agent on the virtual machine that is the target, or an agent on the host that is the target. Because if I'm replicating to a virtual machine that isn't there yet, I'm not able to install an agent on either. Now, if you have those agents, the initial replication, let's say I'm migrating to Hyper-V, will do a full copy of the disk while my source is running. Now, during that full copy, you'll understand that it will take some bandwidth. So this is something that you'll have to take into account during your migration. You can set bandwidth, as we'll see in a couple of seconds, but it will do a full copy first. After that, the machine is still used, so people are making changes to the virtual machine. These block-level changes are replicated while they're written to disk, also to the target machine. So the acknowledgement from the disk saying it's written will also forward the request to the target machine. Now let's say I have downtime. What is happening then? Because it's not able to force over those bits. Let's say we have a disaster recovery site where this is running to, or another site, or even a public cloud. Well, it will cache the information for you, first in memory, then on local disk. And of course, when your disk is full, then you'll have an issue. But it will give you loads of time to at least troubleshoot it before you'll run into that issue. And it will cache that memory, the blocks first on memory and then on disk. And when the replication is restored, it will replicate the blocks over in that particular order. So you won't have an issue there as well. Now, let's have a look at the DoubleTake functionality. It's in essence the same as the migration toolkit. It's a local installer with that difference that it doesn't store the information locally. So I don't have a copy of my disk on my machine. It will only orchestrate the information going through the source and the target. Now, how does this console look like? It's quite simple. There are no 3,000 settings that you can do. First of all, you'll have a managed server entry where you can see that I already added a couple of servers, and you'll see a managed jobs entry where I have one job already up and running. Now, looking at the servers entry, we left off at VMware source number 3. So we'll go ahead with number 4. That's one I want to migrate with double take. Now, how do we do that? Add a server, the server name, VMware source 4, credentials. Password and the domain. Add that. Now there are some dependencies. For instance, I need to have .NET Framework 3.5 SP1, which you can make part of the installer, but it has to be installed on the source. And if you install an agent on the target, it has to be there as well. So as you can see, that it now added the machine, but it cannot connect to the management software because I haven't installed it yet. Is that a difficult process? Let's say I have 500 virtual machines that I want to convert. I can just multi-select different machines, right-click them, and say install. That will kick off the installation wizard. I need an activation code. And for double-take move, you will have to activate one particular code for each VM. You can use that to test your migration over and over. Once you have migrated that virtual machine, you'll have also used that license code. So you can understand that, of course, I had some issues with the lab like a couple of days ago, and I must give kudos to the guys from DoubleTake because I think it was 4 a.m. Sunday night, I emailed them, and 2 hours later, I got 2 new codes. Very well job there. So choose a key, take to your evaluation, yep. And I can select the location where I want to install the agent. I can also add the package for the .NET framework, so if it isn't available on the VM already, it will push it there. And I can or install the installation, run the installation now or schedule it for later. I'll run it now. This will run for a couple of minutes whilst copying the VM. What I also have is another machine, which we have configured already in a running job. This is VMware source number 5. And as you can see from the jobs menu, it'll say a green check mark saying, okay, this virtual machine and this job that you have running is okay. Now you can see that it is the target server is the HVM 02, which is a Hyper-V host. Now what have you done with it with this source 5? I've challenged Martin to create a SQL script. I'm from the new world, I'm an Azure MVP, so I know nothing from SQL. Martin is still legacy. So he's very familiar with SQL.
Thank you.
His SQL skill was a bit rusty, so we'll see if the SQL script is able to fire up.
And one of the things to consider if you don't want to run the installation from here to get the management servers on, you could certainly package it up and use like System Center Configuration Manager or something you're running to get that up in front.
So let's open this machine. It's number 5.
Lucky number 5.
Well, we'll see. It wasn't this morning.
No.
So we'll open up SQL and have a look at that script that Martin has created.
So what you did is you have one VM source 5 replicating from VMware to Hyper-V, and you're now looking in the guest what's going on in the guest.
Yeah, the reason why we use SQL, maybe when you explain the script, it makes more sense, because it would be easy to place a text file on a desktop, have it replicate over and show you the text file. But what about a SQL table when we update that? Will that also replicate, and how does that work? So with this demo, you probably better have an idea of what the actual block level changes will do compared to just replicating files. So pick up your magic query, you call it. Where's it at?
I think the hosts are quite stressed already by the migrations.
Yeah. Is it coming? So connect to the source. Maybe you can explain what a SQL database is.
Sure. So we have SQL running on this VM, and we want to show you the replication that it's almost instantaneous with double take. I've created a script that will actually create a database. We'll create a table and a first record with a current timestamp. So just to show you it's not smoke and mirrors, we'll show you that on the destination side, and we'll do a cutover in a couple of minutes to show you that the replication was instantaneous and that it picked up on the timestamp. So it will create a database called Taget. It will create a table, and within that table, it will create a record. So that's actually what you're now going to run for it to create.
It looks very fancy.
Yep. It's the old world.
Yeah.
It's fancy.
You trust it that it will run?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not like Azure one big button. You still have to think about
things. Okay, there it goes.
So the timestamp is?
Yeah, maybe someone can take a photo so we have proof.
It's a Dutch timestamp I'm seeing,
1621
in the afternoon.
You remember it?
1621.
I'll challenge you. So we'll have that running. Now, the interesting thing with this job is what I can do. I can do a failover. And the failover, I'll have two options saying, first of all, I can fail over live data, meaning I won't use the source anymore and I'll run the target. But I also have an option to perform a test failover, which is quite interesting, but let's say for an instance this thing is all replicated, but you're not sure if it's working all fine. You can say, well, I want to have a look at that target. But let's say the source is a domain controller. You don't want to have the virtual machine spun up in your Hyper-V machine as the same domain controller, because you probably think that will be generating an issue. So what have they done? They will spin up the virtual machine, but won't attach the network adapter to it. And that way you can have a look at the virtual machine inside of it without causing issues on the network. So we'll do that. And while that is failover, let's have a look at the other machine that we just added, if that's already complete. Yeah. So what does the process look like to set up this particular job? I'll select this host 4, and as we've seen, it's already installed the new latest version. So I want to have this replicated to the same Hyper-V host as well. We can just kick off a new job and select that particular machine. I have all loads of options within Vision Solutions. We'll just focus on the move capabilities for now.
One of the things to consider on this screen is that we support also the non-Windows workloads, don't we?
Yeah, but this is only from the host level.
Okay.
Because I'm not able to install .NET framework SP1 on a Linux machine, at least not today. So the source server that we're using is source number 4. And the target that we're going to replicate it over to is a full server to Hyper-V or ESX. Now, I can select a disk. If I had multiple disks, those would also be selected. DoubleTake made a selection for you which files won't it replicate. For instance, the page file isn't very relevant of replicating because it will be generated once you boot up the machine on the other side. You can add or remove files here at will. And I have to select the target as well. Where am I replicating this thing to? And now it will talk to the source and the target, requesting all the information. And this will give me a whole lot of options concerning this particular job, saying, OK, what type of configuration will you use for this particular job? First of all, I can specify a name. this name is fine. Then I can select where do I want to replicate this virtual machine to. Well, this Hyper-V machine is part of a cluster, and I have a cluster chart volume available on that machine. And I want to have it replicated there instead of a local disk or whatever. So that's a possibility that you can use. Let me see if I have that shortcut for you. Desktop, documents, there it is. Save some time instead of logging into the machine. So this is the path, the local path on that particular host, pointing to a CSV volume. I can name it whatever I want to. Then I have the option of giving it a name that I'll see in Hyper-V. As you've seen before, when I connect to this machine, that VM source 5 has an underscore replica name in there. If you're already familiar with the fact that, say, well, I'm happy to do the migration and the final name that I want to use is VMware Source 5, you can specify that here in the wizard. You can also change the amount of processors. So you can change the whole configuration during this migration, which is quite interesting. Well, as we've seen before with the migration toolkit, the free one, I can select the network adapter, which one I want to map it to. I can also change the disk size. So let's say you created an older machine with only 10 gigabytes of C drive, which is a bit small, and you want to resize it here, no problem. You can do that. You can convert from dynamic to fixed, and you can also specify which network settings you want to override. Well, we're using the same network settings for now. Then I'll have the possibility, I'll skip some options, to specify which network adapter do I want to use for the actual replication. So you could even say I have multiple network adapters in my Hyper-V host, and I want to dedicate one specifically for this migration traffic so it won't have overload for my normal production. I can specify, let's say this is over the WAN, do I want to use compression? Is there a moment that I, let's say during the day, want to use less bandwidth for this replication instead of during the night when no one is working? So these are all options that you can have during a setup of a job. It will then check every information saying, okay, you're able to set up this job, and when I finish this, it will actually start a job and do the initial replication of the disk. And when that is completed, you'll have the replication as we just saw with VMware Source 5 as well. Now, in VMware Source 5, you'll see that it has failed over. So I should have a running virtual machine on my Hyper-V host without a network adapter attached. So let's have a look at that. Here we have the VMware Source 5 replica running. And when I look at the settings, you'll notice two things. First of all, it's a Gen 2 machine, which is interesting because I selected VHDS. The other one is a network adapter. It is not connected. Very good. So I'll connect into the machine without the network adapter on through the console, and we'll see if Martin has remembered the timestamp correctly. Maybe enter the alpha lead first. I should be able to log on with my cache credentials because I don't have any network connectivity on this machine. See if that works. Yes, that looks fine. Let's open up SQL. And we should have, what was the time again?
16:21.
Very good, Mark.
Yes.
You slept well last night.
I did. Yeah. Yes. Did you?
No. Oh. Databases. Well, you already see that the database is there. I'll open the table for you just to make sure. I can find my way around the SQL, though.
Yeah, you should be, you should come to
Legacy,
the old school.
Yeah. There it is, the time. So you'll actually see that it will replicate blocks instead of having complete files. Now, what I've just shown you is the possibility to migrate to a Hyper-V host, but DoubleTake, as you saw before on the slide, also has the possibility to migrate to a cloud. Well, you probably have seen the Microsoft cloud during this event. So DoubleTake has that possibility as well. So how that does that look? Well, we were already in Microsoft Azure, so let's pick up that console again. And instead of the free tool which allowed you to upload a disk, what I can do now is create a virtual machine, have that up and running, and replicate the information over. But what about those blocks coming over? Because the machine that is already running has a system state, it has a registry. It can't override it. So how does that process take place? We have a pre-staged folder on the machine, and when you do a cutover, then the pre-staged folder is applied, the virtual machine is rebooted, and it will take from 5 till 20 minutes for the machine to come up, and it will then have all the settings, the names, the GUID, from the source machine. So it will take a bit longer than on-premise, but you'll have like downtime from 5 to 20 minutes, and you're up and running in Microsoft Azure. So that's an interesting thing to see. But there are some dependencies, because how can I replicate from machine A to machine B? Well, I have to have connectivity. And Microsoft Azure allows you to do that. Now, what have we done? As you can see here, first of all, I have created a network, which is a virtual network. And in that virtual network, I've configured a couple of things. First of all, I have configured a configuration for my subnet that I use on-premise, which is, as you probably can see, the 172.20.10.0/24 network. I have also specified the VPN gateway address, which is my on-prem firewall VPN appliance. I have configured two DNS servers. These settings will be used when I create a virtual machine, if that is what you configure, to use these DNS servers for name resolvement. So if you deploy a virtual machine in Microsoft Azure, these are the DNS servers that it will get applied, and it will use my on-prem DNS system for resolvement. And lastly, if we look at the virtual network itself, you'll see that we have connectivity with the on-prem firewall. I've set up a gateway on Microsoft Azure and created a VPN tunnel, which should allow me to have connectivity to a virtual machine running on this particular virtual network from my on-premise. So I've configured one virtual machine running on this particular VNet. Let's have a look at the virtual machines. And we've called it Azure Target. And when we look at the information there on the dashboard, you'll see that we'll have a public virtual IP address, but also an internal IP address. And when we have a look at the IP configuration that I have on premise, I have the 172.20.10.x. So I should be able now to connect into this virtual machine over the VPN tunnel from my on-premise environment to this virtual machine running in Microsoft Azure. So let's give that a try. It is reacting. And the first thing you'll notice is that the IP address is on the desktop. And what also is interesting to note and to think about is, should I make this machine member of the domain or not? Well, if you think about it for a second, what if I do? And I have another domain machine in my on-premise world that I want to replicate over. You can, but when you apply the staging area to that virtual machine, reboot it, it will then assume the identity of that virtual machine that you replicated. But what happened to the identity of the original machine? It will be disabled in Active Directory, and you have an object still sitting there which is doing nothing. So it would be more viable to say, okay, just have a virtual machine running in a workgroup, as you can see here, make sure you can access it with the proper credentials, and you use that in the configuration job. So you see, I have connectivity from my on-prem to this virtual machine. Now let's set up a job in DoubleTake and replicate that over. What is also interesting to display, which is probably a good decision now, is I can pause a running job, and I can also resume it. Now, I don't want to overload this system with 5 migrations at the same time, so I'll pause it for now, and we can later resume the migration. Let's say you have an issue with bandwidth, or your users are complaining, saying, oh, this is taking too much bandwidth. You can just change the job settings at when you will. So we create a new job. We actually take DoubleTake move for that. I have already added that virtual machine and configured it with a key. But what I don't have is the possibility to select that virtual machine that I have running in Microsoft Azure. So I do a full server migration. I have the same option for the replication rules. I can now select the Azure target machine, which is a virtual machine to a virtual machine configuration. This is also getting the information back from Microsoft Azure saying, okay, what values are configured for that particular VM running over there. And what you can see, I have more options here. I can select whether I want to have the failover running directly or at the time that I'm ready for it. And this is an important one. Do I want to apply the settings that I have running for the virtual machine on-premise, specifically to the network, to the virtual machine that's running in Microsoft Azure? If I would do that, I would probably not be able to access that virtual machine anymore, because it has an IP address which isn't on the subnet in Microsoft Azure. So I want to retain the information that is on the subnet in Microsoft Azure. Then I can also select which network adapter, if I had multiple, do I want to attach it to. I can select, again, which network adapter on-premise do I want to use for the initial replication. Then I can specify where do I want to place the staging area, and are there additional things that I would like to add to the particular staging area. Is there a dedicated volume that I would like to use for that? Then I can select, do I want to have certain services that I want to keep running after the virtual machine has been rebooted? And of course, these are two important pieces. Do I want to use compression, because I'm running over the wide area network? And do I want to limit my bandwidth? So those are two things that you can also do. And the last thing is that, and this is more the legacy MATA thing, you're going to add additional scripts that you'll run after the machine has been rebooted. It will note that there are differences between those virtual machines and give me a warning for that. And when I finish it, it will initially replicate the complete set over to that staging area. And then we have the same process of those incremental blocks going over. Thanks.
Awesome, Mark. Perfect. So what we've learned from this demo, or two demos, is that there's a vendor out there that will support you in your migrations, allow you to do in-guest replication of data plus the whole VM. It certainly allows you to go from A to B, from B to A, and all these situations cross-linked from one to another. So you have a lot of options. It's not free, so this is one of the vendor solutions you need to pay for per VM. They have a booth here if you want to stop by and say hi. But it is a viable option, certainly, if you want to have business critical machines, have replication running, do quick cutovers. This is a good solution. Now, of course, one vendor is no vendor, so another vendor to consider is NetIQ. They have what they call their Platespin Migrate. And Platespin Migrate looks a lot like what we just saw from Vision Solutions, the DoubleTake move. One of the things they also can do is staged migration using imaging. If you want to use offline methods, the legacy methods, SneakerNet, you could certainly do so. They also do multi-OS support. We've learned that Linux in-guest isn't supported, but we can do Windows in-guest. We do support Linux as migrations themselves. They support hardware migrations from vendor A to B. Some of the advanced options they allow as well. And they have the PlateSpan Recon. So where we have the map tool, PlateSpan Recon is one of their packaged options where you can do some capacity planning and analysis. They also use VSS block-based transfers. They also do the hypervisor updates for the VMware tools, the Hyper-V integration servers that need to be installed. And the same way where they do cut over and do the delta transfers before the VM is spun up. And same as we saw with the jobs, you can do large-scale migration projects through their tooling. So NetIQ PlateSpan Migrate is also an option. They also have a booth downstairs, so if you want to see that or experience that. We don't have that in their deck and in their demos because we're running out of time, but this is certainly also an option you could use. Now, what we've learned is that there's multiple scenarios. You saw six scenarios you could use. There are differences between them, between free and paid, also between the downtime you experience, the number of minutes that you experience in a certain scenario. So you want to have a requirement up front of what to use based on your downtime. And Microsoft certainly out of the box delivers a lot more. I saw a blog last week about new announcements on MVMC3, so you could certainly also look forward there. So I guess this is our sessions. There are some resources here on the page. You can download this deck after our session, Channel 9, Managing VMware, the P2Vs, the V2Vs, and of course Microsoft Virtual Academy to experience more. And if you liked our session, or if you disliked our session, please give us a score. Allow us to learn from you what we can do better next time and where we can improve on. And if you have any questions, we'll be here for the next couple of minutes to help you out with some of the questions you might have. So thank you for attending. Have a great TechEd for the rest of the week. Thank you.